Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zdroik, joined by Chris Owen. It has barely been 24 hours since the last game ended. Chris, how much research have you been able to do ahead of game week 5 here?
I would say enough to be ready to talk about soccer on the show, but I wish that I had had a little bit more time to do some. I did watch a fair bit of the matches this weekend, and I caught a lot of the highlights. I was on a flight back from New York to Seattle yesterday, so I caught most of that Nottingham Forest and Tottenham game, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, other than that, watched a few highlights, caught the Liverpool game, of course, and caught a few other games too. But yeah, I wish I had like another hour or so maybe to dig into some numbers. But here we are. We got to get things done. This is the time that worked for both of us, and we're back to talking the soccer.
We got to get things done. That's what we're all about here. It was an okay weekend. For my article, I had some difficult bets. For the show, our parlay was not the best parlay.
It was a disgusting parlay.
We could have been better. Putrid. But I will say, I think things would have turned out differently. So, Pontus Janssen, a Brentford center back, he was a late scratch. We didn't know he was going to be out until the lineups came out. And everyone's favorite player, Zanka, started for Brentford. Expectedly, unsurprisingly, Zanka was out of position / run past by Anthony Gordon on Everton's opening goal. So, Everton scored right away, and that basically ended our parlay within, I don't know, maybe the 30th minute or something. But that's betting in a show that comes out 48 hours before matches, kind of a thing. I also, another dagger, I don't want to keep, belaboring this here, but the Wolves Newcastle game, we talked about this before the show, but I had no on both teams to score. Wolves, they're up 1-0, majority of the match. Hwang Hee-chan comes in, and for some reason, like he's at the touchline, and he's trying to clear the ball. He boots the ball into the air. It goes to the top of the box, his own box, and Alan Saint-Maximin volleys it into the back of the net in like the 90th minute.
Absolute banger of a goal.
Goal, you know what? It doesn't matter. It was.
It does matter.
that's just betting in like, I don't know. I just want to let everyone know that happening to you, that also happens to us. You're not alone. Yeah. When these bets like this happen, when you bet Brentford money line before we see the lineups, when Saint-Maximin volleys in a terrible clearance by a substitute into the back of the net. So you're not alone when you lose these bets. Fortunately, the betting community can come together and we can discuss this. But the good news about this week is that there's matches Tuesday. We can now get into game week 5. So
forget it ever happened.
Yeah, we can forget anything happened over the weekend. So that's good. The first match we're talking about, I don't know if this is actually good, the first match we're talking about. So The goal here is that we want to discuss every team kind of equally. That's kind of what we want to do on this show. And we don't have a bet on, I think it was Southampton. We don't have a bet on Bournemouth and maybe Leicester. So we're covering all our bases. And these are the games that we got, that were given to us by the Premier League people. So these are very difficult games to bet here. I want to say that first, but here we go. Southampton home against Chelsea. Southampton are +475 to win. Chelsea are -175 to win. Draw is +340. So do you believe in Chelsea? They went down a man in like the 28th minute, and then they somehow managed to find a win from a Raheem Sterling brace. Over 2.5 goals, -145. Under 2.5 goals, +115. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, they don't do us any favors on the over here, you would expect. I think last season, was it Chelsea won 6-0 at Southampton. Then they played in the League Cup once. They barely snuck one out. And the other match was back in October. Chelsea won that 1-3-1. So you're not getting any favors at the 2.5, the over 2.5. And I'm not here to bet under that. Like the under 2.5, because even though you do get plus odds, it's still like, all right, Chelsea's got enough. What we perceive as firepower, still unclear if they're ever going to find a forward. But yeah, I think I don't really like Southampton in this space. They are, you know, I just haven't seen much from them this season where I'm like, okay, they're at home, they're playing Chelsea, like they can pull a point from this. Even with Chelsea last weekend, you're like, all right, they lose Conor Gallagher first part of that match. I'm like, okay, they are going to conceivably drop points here. Like, what do? They go out and they win 2-1. So didn't even need, you know, who needs 11 men on the pitch when you can just win with 10? Yeah, so that being said, exactly. I think I'd like Chelsea to win this one. And I went up kind of conservatively here, given my what I actually did last week here. But I'm taking Chelsea money line and then over 1.5. So a bit of a parlay, but you can get -120 on that. I just think Southampton are pretty down bad this season. Like they have gotten a couple players, but nothing to be like a super special team where we found them like mid table in years past. I think they're going to be stuck firmly in a relegation scrap all season long. And Chelsea just, you know, have a ton of players, and I just like them over 1.5 goals and with Chelsea on the money line.
This was a very hard game to pick, and that was my first one I wrote down, but I think me and Chris butted heads on one last week, and I took that one, so I'm giving this one to Chris. And
I'm grateful for that.
This one was extremely tough to find, no matter, assuming that you weren't on, like, the Southampton side.
Yeah.
Because what else are you going to do here? Do you want not very good odds on over 2.5 goals? Do you actually want to bet 3.5 goals? Even Chelsea over 1.5 goals was like -170. I'm coming to Chelsea -1.5. It's +155. So I think this match is going to go two ways. It's either going to be Chelsea dominate the game. They get a couple goals. They win by a couple. I think, unfortunately for this bet, I think there's a 50-50 chance that Southampton actually do put up a fight. And kind of what like the Manchester United game is at home last season, Southampton were pretty good, minus this 6-0 loss against Chelsea. I think if you take away that game, I think they actually allowed less than one goal per match at home. But those two matchups last season kind of stand out. Short week. You know, Chelsea are battling injuries, but they get Koulibaly back. We'll see if someone like Pulisic comes in. We'll see how the midfield looks. There's a chance Kovacic is back in there. If Kovacic starts, I think that's a pretty big boost to the midfield because they've been missing him and Conte to open the season. So that's something to keep in mind. But I think the route here is either Chelsea are going to win by, you know, more than one goal, or Southampton actually succeed in trying to keep this a good low scoring game and both teams struggle. But I'm going with the former method here. And I think Chelsea, what we saw in this matchup last season, hasn't huddled, didn't really figure things out. So I'm going with that route. I mean, you're kind of thinking the same thing, but
you're basically going Chelsea 2-0 or Chelsea 3-1 or.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard to talk about because Southampton are so unpredictable.
Yeah,
the other part is
every time we bet on them last season, we had some trouble. Let's just say that. But
the other part is, I don't know if you saw this, but I mentioned this in our DFS show earlier today. So after Bournemouth gave up 9 goals to Liverpool, Southampton Twitter account basically was like, welcome to the party. Because, you know, Southampton are the team that have allowed 7 goals like each of the last 3 seasons. That's not good karma. Your Twitter account's like going on ripping on other teams for allowing 9 goals. Not only that, but it was a couple hours after Southampton lost to Manchester United. So it's like, what are you guys even doing on your Twitter account? I just didn't like that. I think it's going to come back to bite them.
Have you been on the internet in the year 2022? There's absolutely no karma out there. It's non-existent when you get in the Twitter sphere. You can say whatever you want. There's absolutely no. You don't gotta. You can write a check. You don't have to be able to cash it. It doesn't matter. It's the internet.
You know, but luckily for us, this podcast is transparent. So there is karma on this podcast, and I'm trying.
I do want it fair. I do want to go back to last season. I think we've talked about it now, but I think you did the Southampton corner bet when they were playing Chelsea. I just want to ask you so we can verify. You know, let's you know, a little bit of redemption here, opportunity. But you can go over 10.5 goal or over 10.5 corners in the match, or under 10.5, and overs -110, unders -120. We'll keep this one as a little side bet between you and I.
the problem with this bet, and really most corner bets, is if Chelsea go up 1-0 or 2-0 or something, like Southampton aren't going to be able to pressure and pick up corners, and Chelsea aren't going to get corners because they're already winning. And that's what happened last season. There are no corners in last season's match. The way this hits, I think, is if Southampton get like a goal in the first 30 minutes and then Reece James, whoever, racks up corners and they get like 10-plus corners, Chelsea themselves. I'm going under. I'm just correlating with my Chelsea pick that I think they're going to win this game. I think they're going to dominate possession, and I think they're going to control it. So I don't think Southampton are going to get a ton of corner opportunities. And I'm going there. I'm going under 10.5. That's what I'm going.
Okay, cool. A little extra side bet there from the Kids and Wagers pod.
Never giving a corner bet on this podcast again, and neither should you based off your bet. I think Tottenham had one corner.
I might. I know. Against Nottingham Forest. I'm going to go back and take a peek here because that was a tough one. Tough one to swallow for sure.
All right, next match we got Bournemouth, our home, against Wolverhampton. Bournemouth +260 to win. Wolverhampton +115, draw is +240. As you can see on this sheet in our sports betting section on rotowire.com, 10 days ago, August 21st, 8 days ago, I guess, it was +195, +185 for Bournemouth. And then they got hammered 9-0 against Liverpool. And now it then went up to +280. And now it's been sprinkling down here. Bournemouth +260. So it appears like a lot of people are putting money into Bournemouth looking like crap against, you know, one of the best teams in the league. Over 2.5 goals, though, is +110, and under 2.5 goals, -135. I think this is a pretty fun game. You mentioned beforehand that one team, there's a lot of goals for one team, and then there's not a lot of goals for the other team. So what do you think is going to play out here?
Yeah, as I was peeking around here the half hour before the show, I looked at it and I said this to you, but in the last 3 Bournemouth matches, at least in the Premier League, there's been over 2.5 goals. Meanwhile, in Wolverhampton's last 3 matches, there's been under 2.5 goals. So some pretty to the contrary, not really sure what to expect here. But for me, I'm looking at this Bournemouth back line and that was like one of the most sorry excuses of a performance I've ever seen them play on Saturday. And, at one point I was like, did they go for 10? Do I feel bad? I don't know. But all that being said, they miss Lloyd Kelly. I mean, 9 goals, you got to pinpoint it somewhere, but they definitely miss Lloyd Kelly at center back. And it looks like the boys over in the engine room at RotoWire Soccer, they have him as a game time decision, but I'd be surprised to see him play. What was that, 2 days later?
I don't know. I don't think they had a press conference. I don't even know the situation, to be fair here.
Yeah, so anyways, they're missing him, and Wolverhampton, they kind of like are starting to gel their pieces that they've added. It sounds like Pedro Neto might miss out. I'm not sure. It took apparently a knock there this weekend, but you know, Jimenez is in. They've added that new midfielder in. Is it Matthaus? Is that how you say it? Nunez? Don't quote me here, okay. And so, like, I feel like they've really got a lot of their pieces back. Bournemouth have been involved in a lot of goals this season. As mentioned, 9-0 on Saturday. Prior to that, it was – heck, was it? I mean, they played a League Cup match against Norwich City. That was 2-2 in the midweek. And then even before that, they got smoked by Arsenal 3-0, smoked by Manchester City 4-0. And then they did open the season with a 2-0 win. But it's just like that defense is just not prepared for what's coming at them. And although Wolverhampton are traditionally involved in a lot of defensive matches here, I just think, you know, they can grab a goal, maybe three goals. That'd be awesome. Otherwise, Bournemouth, you know, hopefully try to find the back of the net. They're just not a good defensive team. I think Wolves can find the back of the net here. At least, you know, three times would be great.
So for Lloyd Kelly, looks like the press conference is going to be Tuesday because this is a Wednesday match. I did not mention that, but he had a minor kind of a groin something issue on Saturday. I believe the manager, Scott Parker, said hopefully he'll be back for Wednesday. We missed him. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he did. He was out.
So you're going over 2.5 goals. I'm going the opposite way.
Okay.
Knowing both teams to score plus 100. I think I'm going in the opposite way of you. So we've seen Bournemouth allow all these goals, and they've been playing against maybe the three best teams in the league their last three matches. And I think there's a chance we could see a Neto in the starting 11 in net over Travers. I think Neto is a better goalkeeper. They signed him a few weeks ago, but he's the Barcelona. The Barcelona backup. He just never really played because Ter Stegen was ahead of him on the depth chart. But he got, what was it, a few seasons ago, he was Valencia's main keeper. I just never found a role at Barcelona. So I'll say that in there. But I just think, so Scott Parker, I think he knows that he's not going to come out with like a super attack. Like they can't play super attacking. Like they can't lose another home match where they allow 3+ goals. He knows they can't play like that. And I think that's kind of what's going to go into here. I think it's just going to be super defensive. We already know Wolves play like that. And I look back two seasons ago, Scott Parker was at Fulham. They actually had a pretty decent defensive team. And those two matchups were 1-0, both to Wolves. And that's kind of what I'm going back to here. I think Bournemouth are going to try keep this a lot more defensive than that last game. Maybe it's not going to be possible. We'll see. But I do think if they get Lloyd Kelly back, that'll obviously help. But I think there's a chance. We saw Jefferson Lerma start at center back a couple matches early in the season. He could move back there. So I think Scott Parker's just going to find a way that they look like a different team than they did against Liverpool. And I just can't see them just crumpling like they did against Liverpool again.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been four straight matches with over three goals. So I'm just kind of leaning on that. And also an added layer here that I didn't really catch at the end of the match, but Chris Metham came off in the 82nd minute. Typically you don't see a center back, although the situation has a little come off that late in the match or come off at all really. But, you know, I don't know if them being down 9 goals had a role to play in that, but I'd be interested to see what happens in that press conference. And if it was a knock or if it was just like, okay, let's get this guy out of here.
So
if they're missing both Lloyd Kelly and Chris Metham, you know, they're throwing Senesi out there and then somebody else, but it's like not great.
I don't know. You keep giving the this stat about over 2.5 goals in the last three matches, but like, are we comparing Liverpool, Manchester City, and Arsenal to the Wolverhampton attack? Like, I don't think those scores actually even matter.
I mean, they matter because they're in this league that they all play in together called the Premier League, where we talk about it every week. But so, I think those stats do matter. I mean, are those top three teams the same team as Wolverhampton? Absolutely not. But that's not to say that
last season.
Like, this is like also where it's like we're comparing, you know, I guess Wolves was what, probably a top eight team? It's not like they're incapable of scoring goals out there.
They were like bottom five in the league in scoring, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it was like 41 goals, 42 conceded, maybe right around there.
I just think
yes, it was a League Cup match, but we just saw a 2-2 game between Norwich and Bournemouth. So it's like, I mean, if a championship side can go and score two goals on Bournemouth, then I still think that Wolverhampton might be able to as well. I'm curious who played in that match but I mean, regardless.
Yeah, I mean, a Norwich side that started Todd Cantwell, Rashica, Aaron Ramsey.
Do we think that those players are better than, you know, Ruben Neves, Raul Jimenez?
Well, I'm just saying, like, Bournemouth played a lot of their backups in that match. So I don't even know if we can even look at that match. Bournemouth played a lot of backups, and they're playing against guys who have Premier League experience. I'm just trying to get in your head.
they played Neto in goal too in that match. He let up two goals.
Yeah, well, obviously
your boy, who you think is going to start. So,
well,
you tell me.
Travers isn't that good. First off, so I think Neto is an improvement right there. I think Scott Parker's idea is that actually we're going to put Travers in against this gauntlet of teams, and we're going to get him in here so we don't like lose the mindset of Neto. So, and then he's going to start in this Wolverhampton game, and we're going to get a clean sheet. Bournemouth are going to win this one 1-0. If that doesn't happen, I'm never doing the show again.
Staying in the Premier League is like literally a $150 million endeavor for a team if they could stay up. You think Scott Parker's like, let me play some mind games for my goalkeeper?
I think that's exactly what he's doing.
to be like, okay, let's throw these three games again.
This new keeper that they just signed.
I can bring him in for the next 34. He's like, yeah, whatever, you know.
He knew that they were going to lose by 3+ goals in these games. He didn't want this guy to be feeling terrible after giving up all those goals. I think that's exactly what happened.
All right, we'll come back to this on our pod next week. But this is about as contentious as any of our bets have ever gotten on the show. So I think, you know, when this hits, just I'm going to maybe pop some champagne or something.
All right. Next match, let's move on here. Everyone's favorite team to talk about, Leicester City. They are home against Manchester United. This is the standalone Thursday match. So these teams actually have more time, more rest than the other teams are talking about. I guess Manchester United they both played on Saturday. So there we go. That gives them a bit more rest than any of these other teams. But we have Leicester City to win is +235. That has steadily gone up in the past 10 days or so. Manchester United +110 to win, and then the draw is +285. If you want to bet goals, you got over 2.5 is -160, under 2.5 is +130. So we obviously still have a question of, is James Maddison going to play? Probably not. Didn't say that, but we don't know if James Maddison is going to play. So that match is on Thursday. So he could train on Tuesday and Wednesday, and he'll be back in the starting 11. That'll probably change some things. But do you think Leicester have a chance in this game if James Maddison does not start?
I think so. I mean, we've seen a pretty strong Manchester United the last two matches, but
based off your bet, I hope you do think so.
Yeah, I do. We've seen, I mean, I'm just, they got 2-1 and then they won, 1-0 against, was it Southampton last weekend? And
they lost.
I mean, Leicester, United won though.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Leicester, yes. I mean, I think they have, I'm going to go back to, this is more of a little historical data rather than like, what have you done for me lately? So, you know, depends what kind of person you are on that. But when you look at their matchups, like Leicester's kind of dominated City over the past maybe 2 years here. It's been what they've won. Last time Manchester United beat Leicester City, beat them was July of 2020, and was it the COVID season? So late in that match, they got late in that season, they got a 2-0 result. Otherwise, it's been like Leicester City have, you know, 2-2, 3-1. They won 2-1, and then last season it was 4-2 in a 1-1 game. So Leicester City have like outplayed them pretty consistently over the past like 7 matches. I think they've gotten a draw or a win in 5 of those 7 matches. So not out of the realm of possibilities. I will say, you know, United has looked a lot better in the last 2 matches, specifically, you know, against Liverpool, where they probably could have won by more. But yeah, I like Leicester City, and you get some decent odds here for a little double chance. And this, correct me if I'm wrong, this match is in Leicester, right? Yeah, it's at the King Power. So always, you know, you always kind of try to give that home team a little bit of a bigger chance to win. Unless, of course, you're Southampton playing Chelsea this week. But yeah, I like Leicester. This one was a specifically tough because the over goals, you don't get a ton of value. I think you have to go to 3.5 on the overs to get any positive odds. And then the under is 2.5. And I don't think – have Leicester been in a match this season that's been under 2.5 goals? I have to double check that. But it's like there's just been a boatload of goals. Yeah, they have not been. It's been 2-2, 4-2, 1-2-1, and 2-1. So, yeah, I would stray away from that under 2.5 where you get the plus odds. But I have 3-4 goals is a lot to kind of take. So I'm taking Leicester, double chance, -125. Oh, there you are on the unders, right on cue.
Wait. Oh, under. Is that what I want, or do I want over?
I don't know what you wanted.
I was ready to talk about over 2.5 goals. Holy cow. Do I want under? all right. Well, that's what the graphic says, so that's what I'll take here. So, Leicester City they're kind of hurting here. They're kind of hurting. I think this is more of a play with Manchester United and Ten Hag, and they've kind of focused a little more on defense in these last couple matches. They had the 2-1 result against Liverpool. You know, keeping Liverpool the one goal, pretty solid. They held Southampton scoreless, pretty solid. So I think there's a chance Casemiro also comes in here, and that'll help their midfield a little more than everyone's favorite, Scott McTominay. So that'll be another boost there. And on the other side of that, is Jamie Vardy going to start? Is James Maddison available? If James Maddison is available, is he going to be ready for a full 90? I'm not sure. I mean, overall, Leicester City are just not in form. I mean, we just mentioned Chelsea beat them. They went up 2 goals, even though they're down a guy, which is pretty incredible to do, especially like Leicester City. They have hopes of finishing top 10. The fact that you lose that match is not good, not good for morale especially. So it seems like Fofana is definitely on his way out. The one thing that worries me is, you know, Leicester, their back line just still has a ton of issues. You know, Marty and Evans next to each other. It seems like they make one of those guys makes a mistake every game, kind of a thing. We'll see what's going on with Tielemans. And Ndidi was benched last match. And so, like, Samari came in. Dennis Pryatt came in. Like, you have Leicester City added no one in the transfer window, which is another thing, which is a massive problem for them. So that does not help anything. But maybe they'll ride their home crowd here. Maybe they'll actually play defense for once. Doesn't really happen a bunch. But I think this is more of Manchester United are going to play not to lose, which I feel like the last couple of matches they kind of played not to lose. Would you agree with that, or just based off that Liverpool Manchester United game?
I think I need a clarification on that statement. Does that mean they played to win or to draw?
Well, no, play not to lose. So like they don't want to go full out and attack. They want to play safe and then get the goal when it comes up.
Yeah, kind of thing. Transparently, I didn't catch the Leicester City or the United was that Southampton matches, but I mean I watched all that and watch the Liverpool game, and they were just putting balls through the middle, like and letting Rashford and pacey players run onto them. So I don't know. I disagree on the under 2.5 goals, but I think, you know, the addition of Casemiro will definitely help them at least control the midfield a little bit more, which is where they've like lost so many of their matches. I would, yeah, I don't, I'm on Leicester here, and I think there's going to be like 4 goals.
This is definitely against the grain. And again, there's a chance I originally met over 2.5, but I just gave a reasoning for under 2.5. So there's your stinking bet. You see my record. There you go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. All right, what else do we got? Team parlay. So it was decided that we're not going to do the same team again on our parlay because there were mistakes made. We're not going to do the same game, sorry. So now that that's out of the way, if you haven't been following us, a minimum of plus 200 odds is our goal. This one is going to be plus 321. Sorry, it's already on the screen here. So my first, we both have both teams to score.
You can tell we're working on a short week here on the kids.
Yeah, I'm just trying to read this graphic and I'm just getting confused here, but so I got no on both teams to score for West Ham and Tottenham, and that is plus 130. So obviously this is against the grain. People think there's going to be goals. People think there's going to be goals because it's a Tottenham match. I hit on this bet in the Tottenham Nottingham Forest game. Again, Tottenham are on the road, and then you look at West Ham. West Ham were, they started with 3 central defenders at Aston Villa. Nothing really happened in the first half of that match, and then they took Emerson off. I will keep an eye out here on the lineups because Cresswell picked up an issue, so that's something to check out. Okay.
Well, Emerson got his first start, too.
Yeah, Emerson's – started and he only played 45 minutes because Moyes realized going with whatever it was, a 5-3-2, 3-5-2 or something, they did not get anything in the attack. I think they had one shot in the first half there. But I think West Ham, their attack has really struggled to open the season. I think it's going to struggle again against Tottenham. And I think on the surface, you think that – you know, both these teams can score, so, you know, might as well pick the over 2.5 or both teams to score kind of a thing. But I just think the struggles of West Ham, I think they, you know, they really played pretty solid defensively against Astonville. I know they gave up a couple chances, but they didn't allow a goal in that one. So now they're at home, definite boost. And I'm still not sold on just overall how potent the Tottenham attack can be away from home. I mean, we've seen them, you know, they got their 2 goals against Chelsea and then they got 2 goals against Forest. But, you know, a lot of that is, I don't know, the Harry Kane goals are just a couple counters and that kind of thing. But whatever. No on both teams to score for that one. Plus 130. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going a totally different match, but a little bit of a similar bet here. I'm going yes on both Liverpool and Newcastle to score in their match. It's minus 120. You add that to 130, you get plus 321 odds. My thought process here is, and I mean, been watching this back line, and there's been some opportunities. I wouldn't say necessarily last weekend against Bournemouth. There were, you know, they played much tighter, but they were also like Kiefer Moore is, he's a championship striker. So I think that I'm just saying. I'm saying what I'm seeing. But Newcastle, on the other hand, I mean, they're probably going to be missing Bruno in the center of the midfield, but I think they've got some players who can kind of like cause some trouble for Liverpool's back line, specifically like ASM. I mean, he scored that absolute banger that obviously was much to your chagrin.
Stop talking about that goal. Come on.
Looking back to last season, they put a pretty pivotal away match at St. James at the end of the season. That was in late April. That match was 1-0. But prior to that, they did play at Anfield. It was 3-1. A couple seasons before that, 1-1, 0-0. But looking back, I went back to the last 7 matches, and there's both teams have scored 5 times in those 7 matches. So, you know, big historical data guy, I guess. I think that both teams will score. And just like, I haven't seen it. You know, I do rate Joe Gomez as a pretty good player, but I haven't necessarily felt comfortable watching them being like, okay, like this looks like an absolute airtight back line. And Virgil van Dijk has frankly kind of struggled to begin the season. So I could see Newcastle coming away with, you know, at least a goal. I don't necessarily think that they'll come away with a win, but I do think that they'll be able to find the back of the net.
All right, you're putting a lot of faith in a Callum Wilson-less also, Newcastle side.
Well, yeah, are we going to see who's their new guy, Isak?
I mean,
is he going to come out and play some minutes? Yeah, that's a guy who's going to give that center back pairing some trouble, is a man with some speed like him. Also, I mean,
I doubt he starts,
17 though. Goals in La Liga last year.
No, I'm interested to see
what. Okay, 2 seasons ago, was it? Either way, he adds another. Of another layer, and is Alan St. Maximin hurt? Is he injured?
He was feeling his hamstring at the end of that Wolves match
after that strike.
Yeah, a couple guys were. So was Trippier actually. So it's
okay.
Yeah, so I mean, this is another bet we're making. You know, more than 48 hours ahead of match time before press conferences. So. Our thoughts could be different if any of these guys are labeled as out. So
I still think either way. I haven't seen quite enough out of that Liverpool back line. Like Fabinho looked much better, but they haven't been able to control midfield like you typically would expect them to, at least last season. So I think Newcastle has a chance to at least find the back of the net. And you know, if that happens, we get half the parlay. We're home.
No, mine will hit by then.
Okay, well then the full parlay would have hit by then.
Yeah, +3. My game starts 30 minutes before yours, so mine's going to hit 30 minutes before yours.
All right. Well, this is the highest odds for a parlay that we've provided through 5 game weeks, so bear that in mind, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, we're also looking at Leeds' money line. They're home against Everton. That'll be another one, plus odds on that if you're just looking for a straight-up bet. Something to look at.
I just wrote about the FanDuel slate for tomorrow, for Tuesday, and I didn't even know this, but Anthony Gordon is leading the Premier League in shots on target. So it's like, how did that happen ahead of Alexander Mitrovic? But I'm intrigued by that.
That Nottingham Forest game.
Yeah, he had 5 shots on target.
Oh, I guess he had 4 last week too. So
and then 5, yeah, and then 5, yeah. So pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah, and they added Neil Mope, so they got a forward. I don't know if he's ready to start, but
that could be interesting.
All right, so there you go. We got our bets are in. It's a short week. There's going to be rotation. We've heard like I don't know 3 press conferences, so we don't know the injury situation for most teams. So it's kind of difficult right now to talk about these matches. So, but, you know, we got some winners in here. There's winners in here somewhere. I don't know where, but they're somewhere.
The match that I'll have my eyes on is that Wolverhampton-Bournemouth match, especially specifically for that +2.5 over 2.5.
I'm just going to bet Bournemouth 1-0 win. I think that's what I'm going to do. That's probably like a plus 500 or something. Let's check that out here before we go. Bournemouth.
Anyways, I'll have my eyes on that, and you know, We'll be here, what, probably Thursday morning again.
Oh, early plus Thursday 950. Morning. Plus 950. Should I change my bet?
No, I think we had enough trouble trying to figure out what our bets this weekend, so for this week.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, well, we'll be back on Thursday to discuss game week 6. Yes, it's only 3 days away. I think we'll be back Thursday. I guess there is a match on Thursday, so we may have to discuss that. But
we might have to do Friday morning then, huh? Anyways.
Well, maybe. We'll see. I got a busy Friday here. So, rotowire.com/soccertrial, free 10-day trial. Also, just check out our sports betting page. You can click right into these matchups and get all the line movement. Look at that. We also got championship in here. We got this big Norwich-Birmingham City game, Burnley against Millwall. I mean, look at this. You can just click right into here. You can just get this line movement. If you want to bet $100 on Burnley to win or even Millwall to win, that's $400 right there. So, bam. Oh, wow. It's not even on the screen. Sorry about that. So, Chris did not want
to. Let's get out of here.
All right, Chris is at CHR08. I am at Roto's Drake. We will see everyone later this week. Good luck with your bets.
Thanks, Adam.